Let all your things be done with charity. Let us pray. Grant, O Lord, that the word will exhort and edify each one of us more and more to conform to the image of Jesus Christ. Amen. Let all things be done with love. The church at Corinth needed to hear that. We've seen in this epistle at Corinth that the church, it was racked with sex. I'm for S-E-C-T-S. I'm for Paul, I'm from Peter, I'm for Apollos. It was full of these quarreling factions, and when it came to spiritual gifts, they were boastful and proud of the ones that had the better ones and scornful of those who had the lesser ones. The love feast had become a fountain of bitterness. Back in the 60s, we used to sing a song, "They will know we are Christians by our love." Based on what Jesus said, "By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another." Love for God, love for true doctrine, love for each other. We were blessed to have a church like that. This is a church where we love God. We love true doctrine. We love one another. But you should never take that for granted. It was 50 years ago in April that I first began the full-time ministry, 1970. So I've seen a lot of things in a lot of churches. I don't think I ever saw a church problem that did not have as its root the lack of love. You know, we're a small church, but we have love. We have the Lord. Little is much when God is in it. Or I think of what Solomon said, "Better is a dinner of herbs where love is than a stalled ox and hatred therewith." Or to put it in modern English, better is a dinner that's only vegetables than a T-bone steak and hatred therewith, if love is with the vegetable dinner. Now let's begin with verse 1. "Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye." When Paul says "now concerning," it means he's answering a question they have asked in their letter to him. And one question they asked was about this collection for the church at Jerusalem. This is a diaconal collection for the poor saints there. We read of this being taken up in Galatians and Romans, in 2 Corinthians. Now, you know from the book of Acts that in Jerusalem, the church practiced a form of communism. It wasn't the Soviet kind, a revolutionary. It was voluntary. But it was a community of goods, of communism. They had all things common. Now, the problem with a system where you have all things common in a community is that you must have a perfect community for this to work. You must have a community in which there is no such thing as laziness. There's no such thing as greed. But since we're men and not angels, communism has never worked. It has brought poverty wherever it's been tried. And that's why the church in Jerusalem is in poverty now. By the way, it's the only church we ever read of doing this experiment. So they're in poverty now, and Paul is interested in getting the Gentile churches to help them. This will be a great symbol of the unity of the people of God After all, these are sophisticated Greeks. Why should they be concerned about these Jews up in Jerusalem? Well, because they're Christians. They're brothers and sisters in Christ. And the church is all one family of God. So you should show your love for them by taking this collection. Now, he's ordered them to take this collection. He says, as I have ordered, with apostolic authority. On the other hand, he doesn't stipulate the amount. That part is voluntary. And he says elsewhere it should be cheerfully given without grudging or necessity. But still, it is a duty. Giving to the poor is a duty. We take this offering for the poor once a month. This is a Christian duty. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store, as God hath prospered him, that there be no collections when I come. Of course, the first day of the week is Sunday, the Christian Sabbath. So he's saying every Sunday, when you meet for worship, bring this diaconal offering for the church at Jerusalem and put it in the church treasury to save it up for when he comes. Seventh-day Adventists insist on worshiping on Saturday, which is the Jewish Sabbath, which Paul prohibits Christian churches from doing in the book of Galatians. The Apostolic Church always met on Sunday, ever since the resurrection. Now, when Paul says he doesn't want them to take a collection when he comes, he's not talking about the collection for the support of the church. He's talking about this special diaconal collection that will be sent to Jerusalem. I was in a little independent church in Berkeley, California, years ago, and they wouldn't take a collection because of this text. Obviously, they had to stay alive, so they had a basket by the door, and when you came in or went out, you could put money in the basket. But you couldn't pass the basket because here it says there shouldn't be a collection. Well, that's not what Paul is saying. What Paul is saying is he doesn't want to arrive in Corinth and say, where's the collection that we're going to take to Jerusalem? Oh, yeah, sorry, we forgot. Here, we'll take one right now. I have some loose bills here and some change. He wanted this collection taken week by week and stored up so it would amount to something when he came. And when I come, whomsoever ye shall approve by your letters, them will I send to bring your liberality unto Jerusalem. And if it be meet that I go also, they shall go with me. Now notice that to avoid any suspicion, Paul is not going to have anything to do with this money himself. He's not going to handle it. The Corinthians must appoint some of their members to be custodians of this money. This is very wise, and it's always been my practice as a minister. I receive the offering plate as symbolic of the fact that you gave it to Christ because I'm his minister. But after that, I don't have anything to do with the money. I've got church treasurers to take care of that. I've always made that my practice. I've never had anything to do with the money. And Paul wouldn't either. If the amount they collect is sufficient, that's what Paul means, if it be meat, then he'll go with them to Jerusalem. If it's a paltry amount, he's not going to bother. Now I will come unto you when I shall pass through Macedonia, for I do pass through Macedonia, and it may be that I will abide, yea, and winter with you, that ye may bring me on my journey whithersoever I go. For I will not see you now by the way, but I trust to tarry a while with you, if the Lord permit. Paul is writing this letter from Ephesus, and his plan is when he leaves there, he'll go through the churches of Macedonia, visiting them briefly, but he plans when he gets to Corinth to stay there the entire winter. He doesn't want to make a brief visit as he's doing in Macedonia. He wants to stay there a while to try to set in order all the difficulties and problems in the Corinthian church. But notice qualification. This is my plan, if the Lord permit. This is what I'll do. The Lord directs our lives. Man deviseth his way, but the Lord directeth his steps. You know, the Lord may abruptly change your plans. And that's a good thing, because he knows a lot better than we do what our plans should be. It's always wise to say, and St. James says this too, Lord willing, I will do such and such, Lord willing. But I will tarry at Ephesus until Pentecost, for a great door and effectual is opened unto me, and there are many adversaries. As I said, Paul is staying in Ephesus. He's stayed there a long time, 3 years, and ministered there. He plans to continue his service there for a while because a great door of opportunity is open to him. And there are many adversaries. You didn't expect that, did you? Wow, things are going great here. Also, there are plenty of problems. That's a spiritual life, isn't it? It's a battle. No matter how well things go, there's always some kind of opposition. Now, if Timotheus come, see that he may be with you without fear, for he worketh the work of the Lord, as I also do. Timothy is one of Paul's most faithful companions. He's been with Paul at Ephesus. Now Paul is sending him to Corinth in his place to help set things in order there. And Paul wants the Corinthians to receive Timothy just as he would Paul. He says he does the work of the Lord even as I do. In his epistle to Timothy, Paul said, let no man despise thy youth. This has led some to think that Timothy was very young, like even perhaps a teenager. But most Bible scholars think that Timothy was probably about 38 years old when that was written. Don't let anyone despise thy youth because you're only 38. They expected leaders to be men of mature age. That's why, in fact, the leaders are always called elders. Let no man therefore despise him, but conduct him forth in peace, that he may come unto me, for I look for him with the brethren. Don't despise him, receive him in love, assist him on his journey as he leaves you to return to Ephesus with some of your brethren. As touching our brother Apollos, I greatly desired him to come unto you with the brethren, but his will was not at all to come at this time, but he will come when he shall have convenient time. When he says, now as touching, it's the same as now concerning. Here he is answering another question they asked him in their letter to him. In this letter to him, they apparently had asked Paul to ask Apollos to go to Corinth to visit them. Apollos was this very practiced and eloquent Alexandrian orator who was quite popular at Corinth. I am of Apollos. And they wanted him to visit. But for whatever reason, Apollos says, it's not a good time for me to visit. I'll go later when it's more convenient. Even though Paul asked him to go. Now, what you see here is a parity of ministers. Paul and Apollos are treated each other as equals. Paul doesn't order Apollos to go. He's not a bishop. In the apostolic church, there weren't any bishops. And there weren't any presbyteries. The ministers were all equals. Watch ye stand fast in the faith. Quit you like men. Be strong. Let all things be done with charity. Now, Paul interrupts these personal housekeeping matters with five brief, sharp exhortations. Watch ye. Be alert. Do you think Eve was alert when the devil came to her? There are always forces out there ready to deceive you. Be alert. Stand fast in the faith. Be firmly grounded in sound Christian doctrine. Don't be questioning everything, especially the basics. That there should have been a matter of debate about resurrection at Corinth was outrageous. You get the faith, you stand fast in it. Everything is not up for debate. When the devil came to Eve, he did not initially contradict God's word. He just asked a question. Hath God said? Let's just talk it over. I'm just asking a question. Is that really what God said? What do you think, Eve? Let's think this through. Quit you like men. Don't be like quarreling children. Be like grown-ups. And like men, men are always the warriors. And in fact, they were in our own culture until very recently. We're Christian warriors. Be strong. Don't be a weak Christian, easily pushed over by the wiles of the devil. And then let all things be done with charity, with love. Let all things. Love for God, love for the sound doctrine, love in the family, love in the church, love with your neighbor. A church member once said to me, I get convicted every time you read, love thy neighbor as thyself, because I have a neighbor I can't stand. I said, it doesn't say you have to like your neighbor. Sometimes you love your enemy, but you don't have to like him. Sometimes it's impossible to love your enemy. So how do you love them? Well, you do the most loving thing you possibly can. You pray, sincerely pray for that person. I beseech you, brethren, ye know the house of Stephanas, that it is the first fruits of Achaia, and that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints, that ye submit yourselves unto such, and to every one that helpeth with us and laboreth. Well, there was much in Corinth to blame, but it's always good to have a good example. And so Paul selects among the Corinthians the household of Stephanas as that example. We read of Stephanas in the beginning of this epistle when he said, I baptized the household of Stephanas. If he baptized the household, that means he baptized his wife and children as well as Stephanas. They've addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. This is not ministry in the official or formal sense. It simply means service. They've given themselves over to being helpful to the church and its members. I am glad of the coming of Stephanas and Fortunatus and Achaicus, for that which was lacking on your part, they have supplied. For they have refreshed my spirit and yours. Therefore acknowledge them that are such. Stephanas, Fortunatus, and Achaicus were three members of the Corinthian church, and they've come to visit Paul in Ephesus. When he said they supplied what the Corinthians lacked, it doesn't mean what it sounds like in English. What it means is Paul misses the Corinthians, and having these three Corinthian brothers come and visit him made up for his lack of fellowship with the church. It's as if they brought a little of Corinth with them. The churches of Asia salute you. Aquila and Priscilla salute you much in the Lord with the church that is in their house. The churches of Asia, that's Asia Minor, Turkey, send their greetings. Aquila and Priscilla send their greetings. You know, from the book of Acts, Aquila was a Jew from Pontus. And he and his wife Priscilla settled in Rome. The emperor Claudius expelled all the Jews from Rome. So Aquila and Priscilla moved to Corinth. And Paul came to Corinth. They kindly let him in. He stayed with them. And they worked together as tent makers. They allowed their house to be used as a church meeting place. There wasn't anything romantic about churches meeting in homes. It's just because the government didn't allow them to build a nice building like this. They accompanied Paul to Ephesus. When Paul left Corinth, they went with him, and now they're at Ephesus. So they send greetings back to Corinth. All the brethren greet you. Greet ye one another with an holy kiss. Now, I don't think the social distancing will allow the holy kiss. This may seem strange in our culture, but in the East, it's quite common as a sign of friendship, a kiss. In our culture, we substitute with a hearty handshake. The salutation of me, Paul, with mine own hand. You find this at the end of every epistle but Galatians. Paul dictated his epistles through an amanuensis, which is a secretary or scribe. He didn't write them himself. He dictated them, and the scribe wrote it down. The exception being Galatians, which he wrote entirely by himself. But at the end of every epistle, he would take the pen from the scribe and he'd write the last few lines himself to authenticate that it was actually from Paul. And that's what he's doing here. The salutation of me, Paul, with my own hand. He wrote that with his own hand. If any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema, Maranatha. Anathema is a Greek word meaning cursed. If anyone love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be cursed. Sounds harsh. But if Jesus Christ is God over all, blessed forever, and he came to earth and took on human nature and suffered and died to pay for the sins of those who would trust him, he offers salvation freely to anyone who will simply trust him and accept his lordship. If you don't love him, then you're reprobate. You are cursed. Maranatha is not Greek, it's Aramaic. And it means the Lord is coming. And it's a solemn warning to the unsaved, those who love not the Lord Jesus Christ, that there is a day of judgment sure to come. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. My love be with you all in Christ Jesus. Amen. He ends with the love of the Lord Jesus Christ and his own love for them. Let all things be done in love. Love has permeated this chapter. What was the offering for the saints in Jerusalem all about? Love for people you'd never met. Or the receiving Timothy in love, respect. The loving service of the house of Stephanus. The love of the three visitors from Corinth. to Ephesus that meant so much to Paul? The holy kiss? Love of Jesus? The love of Paul? Let all things be done in love. The Holy Spirit spoke this to the church at Corinth. And he speaks it to each of us today. Let all things be done with love. This is the will of God concerning you. Amen. We pray, Lord, that we may more and more in all things manifest the love of Jesus Christ. Amen.